You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again. Stained Glass Radio. 1035 medium wave. North Sound 2.
Welcome to Stained Glass Radio. Another Sunday night. North Sound 2 goes just a little spiritual around the edges. And what have we got on the show tonight? Well, the usual features, the Stained Glass Radio news, the what's on information, and our thought for the week this week comes from the Reverend Marcus Alfman of Woodside Parish Church in Aberdeen. And think about your work. Well, maybe you're one of the lucky people for whom work has real meaning, and you leap out of bed in the morning, raring to go. Is that you? You can't wait to get to your desk, can you? Well, maybe not. Maybe your job is just something you do to pay the bills. Maybe the meaning of it all is just a little difficult to find. Maybe you spend the week just longing for the weekend so you can kick back and relax. I know I do. Let's face it, though, we all need the money. But is there more to it than that? Is there a spiritual side to our work that most people miss? And on the subject of money, what about the current world economic situation? The stock markets look reasonably buoyant at the moment, but are we getting the full picture? Is the media telling us the truth? And if not, what can we do to prepare for the worst? Well, our guest tonight runs an organisation called Marketplace Leaders. It helps people to get a new perspective on their work and financial situation. Oz Hillman is visiting Aberdeen from Georgia, USA this week, and he gave a business breakfast talk at Alton's Thistle Hotel on Friday. He gives us some very useful pointers on our personal situation at work and what our attitude to current world events should be.
Stained Glass Radio, 1035 medium wave, North Sound 2.
Time to go for our thought for the week. This week, it's brought to us by the Reverend Marcus Alfman of Woodside Parish Church in Aberdeen.
This time, I like to talk to you about the world-famous hymn we sadly often hear at funerals, or maybe not so sadly, because at funerals, they can be uplifting to us. The words and the tune of Abide With Me. But I would like to call my little talk here tonight, Abide With Us. In the King James Version of the Bible, the invitation of the two travelers reads, Abide with me, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. We find that in Luke 24, the verses 13 through 35, words which were the inspiration for that beloved hymn, Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The hymn was written by Henry Francis Luty. For 25 years, he was a vicar of a parish in Devonshire, England. He was 54 years old, broken in health and saddened by dissensions, and he had some problems in his congregation. So he was tired. But on Sunday, September 4th, 1847, he preached his farewell sermon and went home to rest. After tea in the afternoon, he retired to his study. In an hour or two, he rejoined his family, holding in his hand the manuscript of his immortal hymn, rejoicing and praising the Lord for what he was able to do. Despite what most think, Luty's eventide has nothing to do with the end of the natural day, but rather the end of life. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth joys grow dim, it glories pass away. The words are about the faith that face life and death fearlessly and triumphantly in the light of the cross and the empty tomb. East of Easter, thus Luty concludes. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Vicar Luty passed on and went with the Lord 3 months after he had composed and written this world-famous hymn. Think it should be of comfort to us in times of sorrow and grief, but it's also a hymn in which we can rejoice and praise the Lord forever and ever.
Stained Glass Radio. 1035 medium wave. North Sound 2.
A poll has found 66% of the public want a default block on online pornography as Labour MPs join calls to clamp down on children being able to see explicit content. The YouGov survey found two-thirds of people were in favour of a system where users had to opt in to view adult content at home. Labour Shadow Ministers Helen Goodman and Jenny Chapman said adults will still have the choice to access material they want to see, but in a civilised society we must also protect our children. Their comments follow a parliamentary report which highlighted figures showing almost one in three children aged 10 or under have seen sexual images online. The report called for the government to consider an opt-in filtering system for all internet accounts in the UK. But last week, a government source said such a move would not be right on civil liberties grounds. The continued controversy comes as tens of thousands of people sign a petition calling on the government to force internet service providers to make accessing pornography an adult-only opt-in service. The parliamentary report found many children are easily accessing online pornography and are suffering as a result. It said children's attitudes to sex, relationships and body image are all being negatively affected by seeing internet pornography. Claire Perry, MP, who was behind the report, has said the time for hand-wringing is past, the time for common-sense solutions is here. Voters in a US state have approved a constitutional amendment which protects the definition of marriage solely as a union between a man and a woman. The amendment says marriage between one man and one woman is the only domestic legal union that shall be valid or recognized in this state. It means judges or politicians can't force gay marriage in North Carolina against the will of the people. Vote for Marriage North Carolina, which supported the amendment, made it clear that its passage ensures the state will define what marriage is in the future. In 2011, the state House and Senate voted to put the amendment before state voters. The amendment reportedly passed nearly 60% to 40%, including support from significant numbers of Democrat voters. This means that since 1998, in every state where citizens have had the opportunity to vote on the definition of marriage, they have backed the traditional definition. Before the vote, members of President Obama's cabinet expressed support for gay marriage, and former President Bill Clinton recorded phone messages encouraging voters to oppose the amendment. Massachusetts, Connecticut, Iowa, Vermont, New Hampshire, New York, and the District of Columbia will all allow same-sex marriages. A recent Gallup survey showed that Americans overall are divided on the issue. About 50% of Americans believe same-sex couples should be allowed to wed, and 48% say same-sex marriage should not be legal. Gloucestershire County Council has removed all references to God in its council prayer after just three councillors objected. The council leader claims the form of words, which still ends with Amen, quote, does the trick without being related to God, unquote. Earlier this year, the government wrote to all local councils in England telling them that the new laws restored their power to hold prayers at official meetings if they chose to. Gloucestershire's so-called godless prayer was introduced at the 63-strong council after one Green councillor and two Liberal Democrats chose not to stand during the Christian prayer. Conservative councillor Brian Thornton, who currently leads the council and introduced the change, said, the majority now seem happy with it, even if there is a group of around eight or nine who regret it and feel strongly that the proper prayer should be maintained. In this case, I don't have to act in a democratic manner. I'm a dictator in the way I control how the meeting is conducted, he said. The new prayer says, quote, may we find the wisdom to carry out our duties, the humanity to listen to all, the courage to do what is right, and the generosity to treat each other with respect. Amen. Councillor Thornton is set to stand down as leader of the council later this month and has said the new leader has every right and opportunity to go back to having the full prayer if he wishes. The Sunday Telegraph, which reported the controversial Gloucestershire prayer, found that 40 councils had recently decided to drop or water down the practice of saying prayers. However, in his letter to local councils, Eric Pickles, the Secretary of State for Local Government, said Britain is not strengthened by the secularisation of civil life. In February this year, the High Court ruled that local councils had no lawful power to hold prayers during official business. But within days of the court's decision, Mr. Pickles fast-tracked the commencement of new laws that overtook the court's ruling and restored councils' right to hold prayers. An Anglican lay reader with 50 years of experience has been suspended for backing the Coalition for Marriage campaign. The campaign seeks to preserve the current legal definition of marriage as between one man and one woman. All Saints Church in Sanderstead decided to suspend Peter Goland, aged 78, for a period of 2 months after he suggested that congregation members should sign the Coalition for Marriage petition to stop Prime Minister David Cameron from redefining marriage to include same-sex couples. The decision was made by the acting Archdeacon of Croydon, the Reverend Dr. Barry Goodwin, after a minority of attendees in favour of same-sex marriage complained that they disagreed with a stance taken by Mr. Goland, who introduced the petition whilst reading notices in a service led by another lay reader, Mary Duncan. It's reported that Miss Duncan immediately discouraged the congregation from signing the petition, stating, "Do not sign it without giving it very careful thought. There are other views." 8 days later, Mr. Goland was informed that he would not be permitted to preach and lead worship for 2 months because he had, quote, bounced the petition on listeners without prior discussion. And finally, the Bishop of Oxford is aiming to live on £1 a day for 5 days to raise awareness of global poverty. Previously, the Right Reverend John Pritchard has given up carbon for Lent and walked across coals for charity. During the week, he will be surviving on 14 pence worth of porridge for breakfast, reconstituted soup for lunch, and a lentil dal for dinner. Bishop Pritchard said he was managing well and continuing to work during his challenge. Stained Glass Radio News. I must say, actually, I tried to give up carbon for Lent as well. Except with my cooking, it proved to be impossible.
Stained Glass Radio. 1035 medium wave. North Sound 2.
Well, how do you view your job? Is it just what you do to earn a living? Does it sometimes seem like a meaningless grind? Or maybe you like your work. Maybe it's something you can't wait to get started on when you get up in the morning. Either way, have you ever thought that there could be a hidden purpose behind the 9-to-5? That there could be much more meaning in it for you and for others around you that you've never considered before? Oz Hillman is president of Marketplace Leaders. It's an organization that works to help men and women discover that God has a purpose in their work. Oz is an internationally recognized speaker on the subject of faith at work. He's the author of 11 books. And he produces a daily email devotional called TGIF, which stands for Today God is First, which has over 190,000 daily subscribers worldwide. He's been in Aberdeen this week speaking at a business breakfast at the Alton Cecil Hotel. And we're very pleased indeed that he's taken time out to drop in to North Sound 2 to tell us a little about how Marketplace Leaders came about and how it helps people today get a new perspective on their work. Oz Hillman, welcome to Stained Glass Radio.
Thanks for having me, Ken. So good to be with you.
Great to have you. Oz, tell us how you yourself began to realize that people needed help from a ministry like Marketplace Leaders.
Well, Ken, I actually had a desire to be a professional golfer when I was young, and so to be in Scotland is a wonderful experience. And but
apart from the weather,
apart from the weather, we're working on that, but. But I ended up not pursuing a career in golf, and I ended up going into business, and I had my own advertising agency. But I came to faith in Christ when I was 22 years old, and it was during that time that I began to really ask questions about my own purpose in life and journey. And then, but several years later is when I really began to study this whole connection between our faith life and our working life, and I would study the Bible to try to understand, because what I realized was many, many centuries ago, there was this secular-sacred divide that happened as early as 300 AD, and it was a whole concept that this is spiritual and this is sacred, or sacred and secular, and that one was spiritual and one wasn't. But the Bible really never taught that, and so that really had me thinking about, you know, what does the Bible really say about this area? And so as I began to apply the principle of really bringing the presence of God in my own life experience, I was able to help others see that as well, and that led for me to begin writing books. I wrote this daily devotional called TGIF, Today God is First, that now goes to 250,000 people a day by email all around the world, and just helping them understand, okay, here's the spiritual connection to why you work.
you mentioned the sacred secular divide. We've covered that in previous shows, and it certainly seems to persist today. People seem to think that, you know, you go along to church once a week and that's your spirituality done. You're trying to break people out of that. I mean, many people today will see their job as just something they have to do to earn a living, but your organization, Marketplace Leader, says it's much more than that, that God actually has a purpose in what we do at work. How do you go about helping people, convincing people that particularly if their job isn't very exciting or challenging or even is downright drudgery, that they should see God's purpose in work? I mean, that must be very difficult, I would think.
Well, you know, when you think about work and when you think about human beings themselves, I think it's interesting that the creator of all of life created us to have a unique DNA. And that DNA means that we all have a bent in life to do something different. And I think the purpose for that in his creation of mankind was that so we would all do something different to meet the needs of human beings. And God knew that we needed to have a purpose in why we did things. He knew that even in Genesis, we see where God created things. He created the world in 7 days, according to the scripture. And so what we realize is that God said, there's no distinction between spiritual and secular in the context of how you do your work. I mean, Jesus is a great example of that. You know, here he was up till 30 years old, he was a carpenter. Mm-hmm. In fact, most people knew him more as a son of a carpenter than a savior of the world. Mm-hmm. And that's why he had such a problem. Isn't this Jesus, son of Joseph,
and Paul was a tent maker.
Yeah. And all the disciples came out of the workplace, you mm-hmm. know. And so you would think that if you're going to start a religious organization, you would get the rabbis and such religious people. But he got them from the common areas.
Sure.
And I think mm-hmm. that's an encouragement to us to know that God values work. He mm-hmm. values what we do every day.
Yeah.
And so I think there's helping people understand that. And when they do, they're really different people because they see a purpose in what they're doing every day.
Yeah. Marketplace Leaders is based in the U.S., of course, Oz, although clearly it's reaching out internationally. And you yourself have spoken in over 25 countries around the world. And now you're here in Scotland. What do you think the special challenges are for our listeners here in terms of viewing their work as a ministry, as God-given, challenges that maybe they don't face in places like the U.S.?
Well, I think that many times we have this view of God that's a very negative view. We have a hard time reconciling the God of love that we hear about in the Bible, and yet we see all these inconsistencies, perceived inconsistency about what goes on in the world, all the evil in the world. And so I think many people struggle with the whole idea, okay, why would God be concerned about little old me, you know, when the truth is that he really delights in us. In fact, I was sharing with a group here even today that I said, you know, when God thinks of you, love swells in his heart when he thinks of you. And a lot of people have a hard time thinking that because we're all about performance. Oh, I have to perform to please God. And yet God said he loved the world, that he gave his own son. And so mm-hmm. this whole concept that, you know, I've got to do something to earn that is really contrary to what the Bible teaches. And so when we realize he's concerned about every aspect of our life, mm-hmm. and it says in the scriptures, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do unto the Lord, for it's the Lord Christ you're serving, and there is where you receive your inheritance or your reward. And so it's an interesting concept that God's saying, hey, whatever you're doing, if it's legitimate work, God can breathe on that and God can bless that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you think that, though, that's something that, you know, this idea of feeling that we're never good enough to please God, do you think that's something that's peculiar to this country more than it is in the United States? Or do you think that it's just about the same everywhere?
You know, I think that it's the same everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I think that any time a country is founded on some maybe a tradition that's very performance-oriented, it can be more difficult.
And you feel that's particularly the case of us here in this
country? I think it could be, yeah. Mm. And I was talking with one of the business leaders here in town today, and I was just talking about that, and he said, you know, that's one I really struggle with.
Right.
You know, how do I feel that I'm really, really acceptable to God? You know, and we often say that there are three lies that I believe the enemy of our souls wants us to believe, and that is that we're powerless over our circumstances, that we're a victim of an unjust God, and that we are left here to suffer by God. Mm. And, you know, that's what the enemy of our soul wants us to believe, that we have a God that doesn't care about us. And the Bible really doesn't teach that. And we have to come in a relationship with God to be able to experience the real deep love of God as our Father.
We said, Oz, some people view their work as simply a means to earn a living, to pay the bills and to heat our homes. And although you've explained that there are other reasons why we're at work, the economic reality of work is still very important. I mean, we all need the money and to be wise custodians where our money is concerned. Now, Marketplace Leaders doesn't ignore that side of it, does it? I mean, you're holding a conference in July in Georgia, USA. I noticed perhaps that the first of other such conferences in different parts of the world where you'll be warning that the world is heading for financial meltdown. You're saying that the current state of the stock market doesn't reflect this. Mm. And the media isn't telling us about it. Mm. But the writing's definitely on the wall, you say. You say the church has got to be prepared for this, and that Christian investors themselves must be too. Our guest a few weeks ago was Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, author of the book The Harbinger, and he was telling us about these dangers in the U.S. and that the world is facing these too right now. How should the church and Christians react to these warnings? How should they? How should they prepare? Can we prepare? In fact,
good question, Ken. Yeah, I believe that you know, the Bible really talks about the power and the negative influence of debt. And of course, what we've seen over the last many centuries and decades is nations becoming more and more indebted. And of course, the crisis that we had in 2007 and 2008 ushered America into a major crisis, and now it's in Europe. And so what we've seen is this major, major just train wreck, you know, in the area of debt. In America, we've got a debt that, you know, no politician has the backbone to deal with. And I think we see that in Europe and other places. We're literally getting beyond our human ability to deal with it. You know, in the Old Testament, there was something called the Year of Jubilee.
Yeah.
And it was a concept that the Bible set up that said every 50 years, we want you to forgive the debts, you know. And it was basically a process of resetting everything. And so, but what happens in modern culture is that the debts get so bad that instead of, you know, a forgiveness process going on, we end up getting foreclosures and, you know, debt by default. And I think that the world is coming to that place where we're seeing these kinds of things. So what we're telling people in America is, look, try to prepare yourself the best you can by getting out of debt. Because debt, you know, it basically rules you, and you have no choices. And then look at ways of being able to be secure in the provision God has provided for you. Don't extend yourself. This is not a time to extend yourself. And look for places where you can be prepared. Because actually, if you can be prepared for a season like that, you can actually be in a wonderful position, because you're actually going to be able to buy a lot of things very cheaply. And so we've heard of this
term. As long as your money's still there.
As long as your money's still there, that's right. And so it's a complex time, and I don't have all the answers. I just know that God gave us some real principles. And the biggest question that not necessarily a question, the biggest truth we need to understand is the Bible says that God the Father is our provider. And I have comfort in that fact, that no matter what happens, if I have sold my life out to Him and I've entrusted my life to Him, He says that He'll provide all of my needs. You know, He did that. You know, He did that for the Israelites when they went through the desert, you know, and they had no means of supporting themselves.
Mm-hmm. And the shoes on their feet never wore
out. That's right. The shoes never wore out. And they lived on this thing called manna. And, you know, I remember when I went through a real season of adversity where I lost all of my wealth. I literally got down to the last dollars. And I had to walk through a season like that. And God provided me for me through very unusual ways. So it's a time for us to really learn this about the nature of God, that He is God the provider.
And prayer is very important during this time as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Bible says that, you know, prayer is our connecting point, and it's a place of interceding for our world, for others that are with us, and also in our own lives to connect with God and asking God, you know, how do you want me to do this? You know, because God can give us creative ideas in the midst of the adversity.
See, people think that maybe I shouldn't be praying about my money. Maybe money is an evil thing. Maybe I shouldn't bring that to God. Mm. I mean, is that line of thinking correct?
No. You know, in fact, the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 8:18 says, He gives you the ability, the power to create wealth. It's actually a covenant promise to every person. And He gives us that ability to create wealth. The only warning He gives us is the love of money. That's what we have to be careful about. But money is intangible. It's a static item. And so what we need
to do... It certainly is intangible where I'm concerned. Never lay my hands on it. Sorry.
So the concept of money is really... isn't moral in the sense of itself, you know. So what we need to realize is that God wants to use money. It's provided for to take care of our needs. It's there for helping other people. It's there to give for causes of Christianity and just many ways. But the biggest thing is just the love of money. And that's where we've gotten into problem in the world today. I believe we've suffered from a mammon spirit, if you will. It's a focus on just
yes.
the money itself.
That's why we've got into the situation
yes.
we're in, isn't it? Through
yes.
greed, basically,
yes.
and the love of money. That's yes. what's that's brought it about.
That's how the whole mortgage crisis happened in mm-hmm. America. We basically lowered our standards for people to buy a home because the banks were greedy to be able to lend more money and put more sales on their books. Mm-hmm. And so it really hurt in both places, both the consumer and the bank itself, and it multiplied.
We're talking about this, mentioning this coming financial tsunami or however else it's referred to. Should Christians, how much should Christians be exposed at this particular time? I mean, should they be invested in the stock market, do you think?
I think you have to be very careful with the stock market right now, because I think that we're in a bubble right now that's a false bubble. And I believe we're going to see some pretty significant corrections. And we don't know what might be the catalyst. You know, it could be the situation in Spain, could be Portugal, could be even a situation that might develop between Israel and Iran,
yes.
you know, because we don't, you know, Israel's not real patient when it comes to letting somebody develop a nuclear weapon on their doorstep.
Well, we're all watching the Middle East at the moment,
exactly.
aren't we? Because the scenario is painted in the scripture that something big is going to happen there.
Yes, and so we see there are, I mean, we are really living on several little powder kegs around us, and we know that now that we're a global economy, it doesn't take much to have a tipping point in one direction or another to cause the markets to react, and so it's a real season. But you know what? I think that this is also a time where God is going to use this to draw many people into a relationship with Him and to help them see that He is a loving God and that He can provide for them. And that, you know, the Bible also speaks of believers as being the bride of Christ. And that concept is that it talks about in Ephesians that He's coming back for a mature bride. Well, that means to me, I don't know about you, but the only way I get mature is when I go through adversity.
Yes.
And so I can't imagine that mature bride is going to get there through prosperity. So I just anticipate that that's the way we're going to become mature.
So our challenges are what build us up. And what we're saying at the moment is that we should be prepared for things to turn nasty as far as the world financial scene is concerned, and prayer is very important. If our listeners want to keep in touch with you, Oz, on your website and read more about Marketplace Leaders, what's the address of your website and what resources are available there to help people with both reclaiming a spiritual view of their work situation and being good stewards of their financial resources?
Sure. Well, first off, Ken, we've got an event coming up down in Dundee on Wednesday for pastors at 11:30 to 2 at the Apex Hotel. And then on Thursday night and Friday night and all day Saturday, I'll be teaching a workshop that I call Change Agent Workshop that really addresses a lot of these kinds of things. But our website is marketplaceleaders.org. marketplaceleaders.org. There they can subscribe to the devotional. And if they want to see that three videos that we did, they can go to threegreatestlies.com, threegreatestlies.com, and that'll help them understand this whole idea of, you know, how do we view the love of God versus how do we view Satan who wants to destroy our lives. And between those two websites, you can find a lot of free information.
Well, we'll mention those two web addresses later on in the show, and also details of those meetings in Dundee that you mentioned too. Oz Hillman, President of Marketplace Leaders, thank you very much indeed for joining us tonight on Stained Glass Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and I'm sure our listeners find that extremely useful information.
Thanks again.
Stained Glass Radio, 1035 Medium Wave, North Sound 2.
And our thanks to the President of Marketplace Leaders, Oz Hillman, for joining us tonight on Stained Glass Radio. If you'd like to attend the talks he's giving in the Apex Hotel Dundee, he said it's only for pastors. I'm not sure if anyone else is invited, but the dates or the times are as follows. Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, 11:30 until 14:00. And then again, he said, on Thursday, Friday and Saturday, presumably at the same times. And his websites, too, are certainly worth a look. Marketplace Leaders' main website, www.marketplaceleaders.org. And the videos that he's made can be seen on an HTTP site, which means you don't need to type in the www. It's 3greatestlies.com. That's 3greatestlies.com.
Stained Glass Radio, 1035 Medium Wave, North Sound 2.
And let's take a look at the What's On information in association with the Aberdeen Christian Diary on the web at www.the-abcd.org.uk. Wednesday the 16th, this coming Wednesday, the Acclamations in Concert, 7 p.m. at St Mary's Church of Scotland, King Street, Aberdeen, AB24 5ST. It's an aid of Christian aid. Entrance is £5 and it includes refreshments. Wednesday the 16th, too, a public discussion on Alzheimer's disease, 6 until 7:30 p.m. at the Salvation Army, Aberdeen Citadel, 26 to 28 Castle Street, Aberdeen, AB115BG. It's an opportunity to discuss and question experts on Alzheimer's disease. Please send questions for the experts, it says, to Helen Lemon, Huntley Ward, Royal Cornhill Hospital, Aberdeen, AB25 2ZH, or you can email her at helen.lemon, L-E-M-M-O-N, at nhs.net, or just ask your question at the meeting. All are welcome, it says. Saturday the 19th, and Particles, Patterns and Purpose, 4:30 to 6 p.m. at Centenary Hall, Bankery West Church, Scotland High Street, the corner of Mount Street, Bankery, AB31 5TB. Last of a series of three short talks by Dr. Paul Raitt, retired lecturer in physics and engineering at Aberdeen University, about the intersection of faith and science. For more details, contact the church office on 01330 822 006, or Ian Davey on telephone number 01330 824 498. Saturday the 19th, and Breathe from 7 until 9 p.m. Old Macker Church of Scotland, Ashwood Park, Ridge of Don, Aberdeen, AB22 8PR. An interactive worship event including challenges, games, drama, music and talk for churched and unchurched 10 to 15 year old young people. Contact is Northeast of Scotland YFC on 01224 213495 or email breathe at nesyfc.org.uk. Sunday the 20th and the Hunger Games from 7:30 until 9:30 p.m. at Deeside Christian Fellowship Church, Bing Hill Drive, Milltimber, AB130JE. It's an event for youth with participation in a wide game and a chance to hear from Christian solidarity worldwide about standing shoulder to shoulder with Christians across the world. The contact is Doogie Simpson on email address Doogie, D-O-U-G-I-E, .Simpson@dcfchurch.org. Tuesday the 22nd, DNA, a journey of discipleship taster day in Aberdeen. DNA is an 11-month journey of church-based discipleship in the context of mission, it says. It's for those who recognize their desire to be useful and fruitful in the kingdom of God, but who are also humble enough to recognize their need for development, it says. For any age, 18 and upward, and the program is accredited through the National Open College Network. The contact telephone number 01808 521 787 or on the mobile 07905 625 195, and there's an email address to dna@dna-uk.org, and there's a website to take a look at www.dna-uk.org. That's it for the What's On information. Anything you'd like us to include, just send us in an email, and the address is stainglassradio@northsound2.com. And that's it, too, for the show tonight. Thanks very much for being with me. Don't miss next week. We'll have Keith Getty of Keith and Kristen Getty, the husband and wife singing-songwriting duo. And, of course, they're appearing at the Music Hall in Aberdeen in early June. Friday the 8th of June, in fact. Looking forward to that very much.
Stained Glass Radio. 1035 medium wave. North Sound 2. Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.